Straight Talk on News Talk 94.3 WRHI is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill, Manning Kimmel.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. My name is Manning Kimmel. The program is called Straight Talk. We do it every weekday afternoon, talking about Rock Hill, Fort Mill, Tega Cay, the great county of York, and everything else up and down I-77. So if you have any interest in what's going on in the community, you need to listen to this program. And we've been doing it for like 32 years right here on WRHI, seven times South Carolina's radio station of the year. Our broadcast presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more by going online to AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. Now, if you are in the midst of a divorce or you are about to get into one, you might want to really pull off to the side of the road, turn the radio up a little bit, and listen to today's program, because it's all about trying to get reform here on the alimony laws in South Carolina. Wyman Oxner is with us. He is with a group called South Carolina Alimony Reform. It seems to me we've been talking about this annually, like for the last 3 or 4 years. So, Wyman, belly on up to the microphone here and tell everybody a little bit about you.
Well, I'm from Orangeburg, South Carolina. I'm actually from West Columbia, South Carolina. I've lived in Orangeburg for the last 20-something years.
And what's the name of that barbecue place down there?
Duke's Barbecue.
Yeah, you go. Yeah, good old Duke's Barbecue.
They're still there. So, I divorced and was paying alimony, and I didn't think it was fair the way things were panning out. I didn't realize it was going to be for the rest of my life, just like hardly anybody in South Carolina realizes it until you actually divorce and you fall off the cliff into that fire. I ran into my representative at Walgreens and started talking to him about it, and he became very interested in it and was sympathetic toward what I was saying, and it, you know, there's so many people that will never be able to retire because they're paying permanent lifetime alimony. And a lot of people don't realize that if you divorce, you're going to pay for the rest of your life in South Carolina.
You know, my I have a family member who just had a celebration here last month when he wrote his last alimony check. 10 years he paid alimony. 10 years he paid alimony. But he was divorced up in Maryland. A little bit different deal. But it was something. All right, so you have brought with you your band of brothers here who are going to introduce themselves. First one is Terry Maxwell. Terry, you live here in Rock Hill?
I do.
Tell me a little bit about you.
Born and raised in Rock Hill. I come from a background of the personnel industry, employment industry. Had a staffing company here in town at one point. Have a good bit of family that live in town. And I became interested in the South Carolina alimony reform because I was Googling one day about alimony, because my husband does pay alimony, and it does affect our family. It affects our children, it affects our future, and it also affects the future of our children. And I became a member with alimony reform when we started out with 75 people, and it has grown since then.
All right. Now, we brought one more gentleman here who is your better half. No, I'm about to say that. Dr. Jeff Maxwell. Jeff, tell us a little bit about you.
I am originally from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. I moved to South Carolina in 1984, where I went to chiropractic school in Spartanburg. I graduated in 1987, and I have been practicing chiropractic in the state of South Carolina about 30 years. I've been in Rock Hill. I moved here in 1993, and I am currently at 237 South Hurlong Avenue across from Piedmont Medical Center next to the BB&T Bank for Palmetto Physical Medicine and Chiropractic. And I was married approximately 12 years, and I have been paying alimony for 15 years. Mm. I pay $2,500 a month, and I will until my ex-wife remarries or we change the laws or I die.
Good Lord. Oh, wow. Yikes. Okay, so we know what the problem is. So, Wyman, bring us up to speed. You have been churning on this for years, trying to get somebody to understand.
Going into the seventh year. Sorry,
7 years? Mm-hmm. So what is the problem? I mean, what you're trying to do is to do what? Put a cap, a term?
We're trying to make the alimony laws fair for everybody. So we're trying to reform them because right now the balance of justice is skewed toward the person receiving alimony. The person receiving alimony pretty much wins the lottery. The person paying alimony is pretty much in prison for the rest of their life. You know, if you got that hanging over their head, many of them will have no chance to retire. They'll work till they drop or die. We would like to see things change so that there would be an end to it, or at least an offset of Social Security to offset the alimony at retirement age, so people can actually think about maybe retiring.
So if a person receiving alimony all of a sudden got $1,000 a month, let's say, from Social Security, that would reduce the amount that the other spouse.
We would like to see that, yes.
So how many states, I know you've studied this, how many states have a system like apparently we have here in South Carolina?
About 25. About half the country is trying to change their alimony laws.
Really?
And only two have succeeded, New Jersey and Massachusetts. And they're it's staying a steady fight because the spirit of the law, the way it was changed, is being misinterpreted by the courts. And so they're constantly fighting it to keep it from changing back to, you know, maybe the way it was before. But they do have it. They did manage to have a change in the laws there.
You know what's interesting, and again, thank God I haven't had to be through a divorce, but I've watched enough people go through it, is you have alimony and you also have child support when you have children. Now, what's interesting, when you take a look at child support, you pay that, as I understand it, basically up until the age of 18, which is when they graduate from high school, and then you and your former spouse would work out whatever you could work out for additional expenses for college or what have you. But there's a cap on it. There's a cap. So if you get divorced and the child's 5 years old, you're going to have 13 years of child support. But what you're telling me with alimony, you're responsible for the well-being of the separate party for the rest of their life until they get married.
Remarried.
Or until you die and can't write any more checks.
Right. Well, the way the law works with child support, which I'm not a big child support, I'm not real knowledgeable in that, but they assume that a child, when they reach 21, they're an adult or 18, and that they should be able to take care of themselves at that point. So there's an end to it. But alimony, even though the person is older than that, somehow you're supposed to support them for the rest of your life. And we've got women paying men alimony. We've got one woman in particular that just joined us. She married a guy. He worked for about a year, and then he quit work, and she was after him to get another job. He claimed he was looking for a job. He never did find another one. Started gambling, started putting her into debt, and she fussed about that for about 2 or 3 years, and she finally left him. Well, she's now paying him permanent alimony. So the way the laws were set up, you could take a really good-looking girl that could target a doctor or a lawyer, say, I'm going to marry this guy 5 years, I'm going to divorce him, and I'm set for life. Or you could take a guy, marry a woman, become a deadbeat, and have her, you know, a woman with a good job. She'd be paying him for the rest of her life. And 4 out of 10 households, the women make more than the men now.
That's an interesting statistic.
Yes.
So when you sit down there and you talk to that bastion of knowledge down there in Columbia, and you have this conversation like we're having here today, what's their response?
I would say the majority of them agree with us. Our bill in the House last year passed 91-8, but when it got over to the Senate, a minority report was filed, and a minority report is something that any senator can use anytime they don't like a bill. One senator can stop everything, which gives them the power of a king, you just as well say. It's way too much power. But we wrote letters to the editor about minority reports last year saying that it was not conducive to good government. It gave one senator too much power to stop everything, and that every bill, I don't care what the bill is, deserves a right to an up-and-down vote. Well, this year they did away with minority reports, so that's gone. So they can't do that again this year.
So maybe. But you're going to have to go back. Let's see now. I'm trying to get my dates right. Yeah, you're going to have to start all over again, aren't you?
Well, we've already started over. We've already resubmitted the bills. There's a possibility that we will be talking with the Bar Association, that maybe they're kind of coming to terms with this and wanting to make some progress toward changing these archaic laws that are so old. You know, 100 years ago, women didn't work. If they did, it's probably a school teacher. Minimum wage, if there was such a thing back then. But now women pretty much get equal pay. They're CEOs of companies. They own their own companies. And like I just said, 4 out of 10 make more than the men. And there's also the fact that when people marry today, they know 50% of the marriages end up in divorce. So when you go into a marriage, you know that to start with. So you know there's a 50-50 chance you aren't going to make it. So you need to be preparing yourself for a divorce just in case you don't make it. If you choose to stay home, man or woman, that's your choice. And we're not against all alimony. We realize there may be a case for alimony when somebody stays home like that, maybe 5, 10 years, maybe even 15, but not forever.
Yeah, I wonder what the... I mean, tell me about the bill. The bill says what?
All right, we've got 4 bills in the Senate. Bill is 91, 92, 93, and 94. Bill 91 creates public policy seeking equity for both parties so that no one form of alimony is preferred. Because right now the default alimony is permanent alimony always, 99% of the time. We're trying to change that to fixed alimony or transitional alimony with a rebuttable presumption for permanent alimony, meaning that you have to go back to court to prove you need permanent alimony instead of automatically getting it.
Okay.
92 creates the transitional and fixed term alimonies, you know, so the judges have more than one option. 94 focuses on modifications where payers can seek a reduction or an end to alimony at retirement. And 92, it bars consideration of the second spouse's income in determining alimony payments. Because right now they can take your second wife's income and use that as part of the income for your household to determine alimony. Your second wife had absolutely nothing to do with your divorce.
Huh. What about the...
The house bill is just a compilation of the
option you were talking about earlier. Let's say when the divorced spouse all of a sudden starts getting Social Security, that there should be some kind of automatic kick-in to reduce what the other one has to pay.
We want to get that in the bill. I think it's in the House bill, but there's some mention of it in the Senate bills, too. But that would be a very important thing. If we didn't get anything but that, that would be tremendous.
You know what infuriates me is, and I'm saying this from personal experience and watching a friend of mine go through a mess like we're talking about here, is when the judge will tell you that his hands are tied. I can't do anything more than what I've done. So why in the hell hasn't the judge gone down there to Columbia and said, this is not right? What we're doing here is not right. It would seem to me that if the judges would say, you know, we watch this horror day in and day out, and it's not fair, we think the laws need to be changed. Bingo, the laws would be changed. Is anybody talking to these judges?
They have come to some of the subcommittee meetings and listened in. But you have to understand the judges are appointed by the legislature.
So, that's fine. Be appointed by... Well, there we go. We're into this little ring here. It's the lawyers who benefit by these protracted divorce proceedings.
Well, the matrimonial lawyers, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. And then they're the ones that are permeating the House and the Senate down there, the elected members.
They're our major opposition. Yeah, in fact, they're the only opposition that I know
of. So why doesn't somebody call them out? That's what I'm getting to.
Well, I think we just did.
Well, I know you did. But why aren't some other people calling them out? I mean, this is just crazy.
Well, it's the legislature. Things have to be taken out. It's like my representative told me, you can't eat an entire elephant all at once. You have to eat him a bite at a time. So we're trying to take a step at a time. Any improvement we can get is great. Hopefully the matrimonial lawyers are starting to come around because they're not going to lose any money on this. They should actually make more money because there's going to be more people going back to court if these laws go through. And that'll be a continual thing. You know?
My.
So hopefully they're listening.
I'm reminded of this candidate who was running for some job when he kept saying, let's drain the swamp. Seems to me we might have a swamp of our own here in the South Carolina that needs a little bit of fixing. My words, not yours. Okay, It's just beyond me that in the name of fairness, I mean, I believe that there should be some kind of a system for taking care of the one that you said I love and cherish and that's fallen apart, but not forever.
Well, one problem, you know, people vote you don't have to vote the same people in the office every time around. If you don't think they're doing a good job, don't vote for them.
Well, that's true. I got you.
That's kind of our fault that it happens, because we can vote these people out if we don't like what they're doing.
All right. So let's go back here to you, Doc. You're in a situation because of this law where for the rest of your life, you have to write this $2,500 a month check.
That's correct.
And as your wife just said here, I mean, that obviously has to have an impact on family finances when you're writing a check that big.
Absolutely. And we have children who are in college, and we have to pay for them. And we have our own means and lifestyle we try to support. So it makes it difficult on a monthly basis to make ends meet because someone chooses not to work. And I don't know if people understand this as well, is that the ex-spouse can make as much money as they want and still collect that portion of the alimony. So in other words, my ex could get a job or hit the lottery, yes, of which she earns a nice six-figure salary. She gets to keep all her money, and she still gets my $2,500 a month. And when I tell educated people, including legislators and senators, that I pay permanent alimony, their response is, "What do you mean permanent?" And I say, "Permanent. It's till death do us part, or she gets remarried or lives with someone for 91 days. So if I'm receiving spousal support, why would I do any of those things? And in fact, I can earn as much money as I choose to earn, and it's not affecting my own portion of the alimony."
Oh, my gosh. And then here's your wife over here. She, this has got to really be make you about as angry as one could be. And I would think that that would have some kind of impact on your own relationship, having this go on and on, month after month after month after month.
Right, because I feel like it you know, I feel like everyone should be self-accountable, self-sufficient, like I have been. And I feel like that enables the person that is receiving the alimony, there's no incentive. There's no incentive to gain employment. There's no incentive whatsoever to go out on their own and earn their own money. And also, it also teaches our children that the value, there's no value, there are no principles in the home. When you say, hey, it's okay to receive the alimony and not go out and earn a living on your own, it's okay to do that. And that's, you know, when you talk about the children, it does not send a good message to our children in terms of that.
All right, we got to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Find out more by going online to AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, we broadcast live every day from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes, 7 days a week. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Always delicious. Back after these words.
News and information that matters to you. This is Straight Talk.
Cooler weather means it's time for Substation 2 to bring back their fabulous gyro sandwich. Right, Charlie?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Our gyro is made with beef and lamb, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with tzatziki sauce, tomatoes, and onions.
And it's delicious.
The gyro is back at Substation 2, but only for a limited time. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Hi there, Chris Miller, six-time South Carolina statewide sportscaster of the year, here for Comporium's Moxie Whole Home DVR system. Watch the ball game in the den, then the kitchen. Just pause in one room and resume in another. Connect up to six TVs or record six programs at once. Moxie is the future of entertainment with Comporium, and the Moxie app is available for Apple or Android devices. Turn on with your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Call Comporium 888-403-2667 or go to Comporium.com.
Finally ready to purchase your first home? Look no further than Founders Federal Credit Union for your mortgage loan. Our first-time homebuyer program incentives include a low down payment, no PMI, no origination fee, and more. Apply online at foundersfu.com/mortgage or at one of our convenient locations where one of our qualified loan officers will guide you through the application process. Not a Founders member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to see if you qualify for membership. APR is subject to increase or decrease. Offer for no origination fee is only available for specific mortgage products for first-time homebuyers. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured. insured by NCUA and an equal housing lender.
Good Pharmacy is looking brand new with remodeled wider aisles, bright displays, and multiple service counters.
This is Laura Hyatt Sweat at Good Pharmacy. We eagerly look forward each day to helping people get well more quickly.
Good Pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Cooler weather means it's time for Substation 2 to bring back their fabulous gyro sandwich. Right, Charlie?
Yes, ma'am, it is. Our gyro is made with beef and lamb, served hot on warm, soft pita bread with tzatziki sauce, tomatoes, and onions.
And it's delicious.
The gyro is back at Substation 2, but only for a limited time. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on News Talk 94.3 WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2 with a table full of people involved with South Carolina Alimony Reform, which is a formalized organization that is trying to get the archaic alimony laws in the state of South Carolina changed. They've been working at it for pushing 10 years now. The ringleader here is Wyman Oxner. We have around the table a couple of local people, Terry Maxwell and her husband, Jeff Maxwell, who have lived through this or are living through this. First of all, you've got a website that's got all this information on it, and you'd like to get as many people involved as possible.
Yes, it doesn't cost you anything to join us. If you're paying permanent alimony, it would. When you help us, it helps you. It's an all-volunteer organization. Everybody in this organization is paying alimony. You don't have to be paying alimony to join. If you got a son or a daughter or a friend or family members, join us and help us change these laws. Our website is SC, like South Carolina, scalimonyreform.com, or you can call us at 803-531-3002. If we don't answer, leave us a message. We'll get back with you within 24 hours.
All right, it's scalimonyreform.com, right?
Right.
Okay. So, how many members you got now?
About 900.
900.
And growing.
I can't believe you don't have 9,000.
Well, we
or
don't
90,000.
We don't know how to find them. There's no list of people paying alimony. So unless they hear us on the radio or TV or see a billboard or an ad, they don't know we exist. Or they Google us.
Jeez. I would think anybody who has gone through a divorce or going through a divorce would say you need to get involved with this scalimonyreform.com. I mean, it's crazy. All right. So you've got... You're back in the legislature again.
Right.
The bill passed the House last year, but you got to start over again because it's a new session.
Every two years.
Are you optimistic in the House that you can get this through? Series of bills.
Yeah,
through?
I don't think we'll have any problem in the House. The Senate's where we're going to have the problem.
Well, you just mentioned that the rules of the Senate have changed.
They have changed.
And had those laws not been in place last year, the bill would have passed, correct?
I think so. I think we had enough votes in the Senate to pass it. Otherwise, they probably would not have filed a minority report. They knew it would pass. I don't think it would have passed by a lot, but I think we had enough votes to pass it.
So what is your strategy for this year? I mean, here you are.
Our strategy this year is we've hired a lobbyist to help us out, which has taken a huge load off of me because he can get in to talk to the legislators pretty much at will, where it takes a little bit more for me.
Right.
Because unless you're a constituent, a lot of times they don't necessarily want to talk to you. But, you know, they all know me now, so they will talk to me most of the time when I go in to talk with them.
So you got a lobbyist who's knocking on doors, trying to, you know, tell the story and get people involved. What else are you doing besides this wonderful radio program?
Well, we're doing this. We just did a TV show this morning.
Good. Are you getting a lot of media interest in this?
Getting some.
Some?
Not as much as you think. I have to call the people. I have to call the stations to set up an interview. It's like they're not paying attention to us or something, but they should be because it's a big story and there's a lot of people being affected by it. There's so many people's lives being ruined by this.
Yeah. And that's the right word, ruined.
Ruined, right, because it is not conducive to family. It actually destroys families.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that because you've been through it. These two have been through it. I mean, what are some of the things that people have no understanding of unless they've been through this?
Well, One of the main things is you never get closure on your ex-marriage because you're constantly writing them a check every month. So it's like you're never really divorced from them. They're still there. The main things are it causes a lot of animosity between the ex-husband and wife. So they're fighting. They're at each other's throats. This affects the children. The children are caught in the middle of all this. It creates a lot of anxiety for them. It keeps people from getting married because the ex-wife or husband, whoever receives an alimony, is never going to remarry in most cases because they don't want to lose the alimony. They'll just live together. And we got a 90-day cohabitation clause, but they'll live together for 88 days, move out for a day, and then move back in to get around that. Nobody wants to marry somebody paying permanent alimony if they know the laws, because their income can get caught up in this mess. We've had several people that were about to get married decided they weren't going to because of this. So it destroys family life, which is the backbone of the whole country. So regardless of what the matrimonial lawyers say, it is not okay the way it is. It's not working fine the way it is. If it was, we wouldn't have this organization.
And what are the counter arguments to this? What are those who continue to allow this to go on, say, in rebuttal to this?
They say it's fine the way it is, that it, you know, you can agree to the alimony and go back later if your circumstances change and have it modified. But they have told a lot of our members, just go ahead and agree to whatever she wants, you can go back later and have it modified. Well, that is not true. If you agree to it, it cannot be modified. You have to let the judge decide it. So don't agree to anything. And my advice is, don't divorce in South Carolina. It's all right to marry here. If you're going to divorce, move to North Carolina or Georgia or Pennsylvania or Tennessee. But don't divorce here.
That's interesting.
Because you fall into what we call the alimony trap, and you don't find out about it till you fall off that cliff into the fire.
So the surrounding states that you just referenced, North Carolina and Georgia, they don't have this alimony trap.
They may use permanent alimony occasionally, but that's not the default. Most of the time, no.
Right. And that's the big issue. The judges have one option, and that's permanent alimony, and there's nothing else on the books.
No, they have other options. They just don't use them. Because of the amount of cases, I guess they just fall back on that because it's the easiest thing to do. It's quicker. You get the cases through the court faster.
And I ask again, what is wrong with the system? Why is it those who sit there and watch this travesty go on day in and day out don't do something about it?
Well, hopefully,
you're telling me they got options and they're not using them.
I'm hoping that they are going to start listening and start using these options. And we're going to get a change in the laws, because we're not going away. We're going to be here until something gets done. And they're going to get tired of hearing from us, and their office is flooded with phone calls after a while.
Golly dang. It's just, it makes me just mad to sit here and listen to this. And I'm not in this bucket. I'm not going to get in this bucket.
I'm kind of past the anger part because I've been in it so long. I've learned to just let that slide.
Well, you made a very good point. And in the case of good old Doc over here, swing him back in here, somebody would say, you must be a brave man to have even thought about getting married again, because, hell, you could get a double whammy of this.
And I absolutely had to think about that. And I think one thing that I think that we should point out is our group is not against alimony or against permanent alimony. We believe that there should be some sort of spousal support when it's necessary, but we believe that it should end at some point. There should be a light at the end of the tunnel, just as we all know that if we have a child that's 1 year old, in 17 years, your child support is going to end. Whether you have one child or five children, when those children reach age 18, it's over. However, there is no light at the end of the tunnel for permanent alimony, and we just want the restructuring of the laws, and we want to give the judges more tools so what they can do is say, hey, you know, when you have child support will...
We got it. I understand what you're saying. We've just run out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. Wyman Ochsner, Terry Maxwell, Jeff Maxwell, thank you all for being here. I hope to God you get some moving on this. The website, again, is scalimonyreform.com, and the telephone number is 803-531-3002. And that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Jerry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union and, of course, by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. We do it live from Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week prepared right before your eyes. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Always delicious. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.